Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to go ahead and continue with our classes, The Great Mercy of God. And what I'd like to do for this class is essentially the same that I did for our previous class. I still wanted to look at some verses where the word went up, or the phrase went up, which is Strong's number 5927. The Hebrew, aulah, something like that, aulah, forgive me on my pronunciation, where that shows up in the scriptures, just to kind of give us a more, how shall I say it, a more rounded picture of the term and on how it's used in the scriptures. And so what I've done, I did a lexical form search for the phrase went up, aulah, aulah, Strong's number 5927, as it appears in Genesis chapter 17, verse 22. And I looked at several verses. There are several verses in the scriptures that have this, but I selected certain ones that kind of give us a better picture of what all goes on. And like I mentioned, it just gives us a wider, a broader, a more well-rounded, not necessarily definition, but sense of the term. That's kind of what I wanted to mention. The sense of the meaning. But We have to remember this. It's not about learning definitions, or because I look at several definitions, and it's not about looking and seeing how one verse will naturally cross-reference with another verse, or how a commentary will just really enlighten something of the scriptures of a particular passage that we're looking at. It's not about anything like that, because once again, all that is natural knowledge by having studied out, searched out, even with what I'm doing. In doing that, we have learned absolutely nothing concerning the Lord. We have maybe learned a testimony, okay? The Spirit of God can use, and even to learn a testimony requires the Spirit of God. But all of our learning by natural abilities, remember, my brothers and sisters, it comes short of the knowledge of God. It's still below. It's still man's light that before God is darkness. That God considers darkness. Concerning God and that which is of God, the only light there is the light He Himself is, and the light that He Himself bestows, gives. Okay? And that light, of course, is found above, as we were seeing with Abraham. For 13 years, Abraham, he was walking, I could say it this way, walking to whatever degree in his own light, in his own knowledge, with the face of Ishmael before him. And the Lord takes the initiative, as He always does, and redirects the heart, redirects the attention of the heart, and places it above upon the person. And so, once again, I try to stress that, because I know that the end of all my studies, look at that. I mean, that's just two pages. I've got several more. I know at the end of all my studies is just something that I can present to the Spirit of God to use for God's end. Academic learning, my brothers and sisters, is man's learning. And the Spirit of God, for us who are born again, desires to bring our heart from man's learning to God's knowledge. This requires a miracle of God. If you can do it, my brothers and sisters, It's not God. All right, so here's our verse that that we looked at where that phrase is. It's Genesis chapter 17, verse 22. Then he finished talking with Abraham, with him, and God went up from Abraham. God went up. Allah. Strong's number 5927. And the next passage where this word is found, this Hebrew word is found, is Genesis chapter 24, verse 16. Now, I want to give some context to this because it really just opens it up to when we finally read that verse where the word is found. So I just want to read the context of it. Beginning in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 24. I remember it's Genesis chapter 24, verse 16, where our term is found. Verse 1. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all, or with all. And that just floored me when I read that. I'll read it again. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all, with all. Now, because Abraham is not just a person that's doing his own thing. No. This person has been called of God to be a particular testimony. A testimony of Christ, a testimony of the Father, a testimony of a believer coming unto God, a testimony of a believer coming unto Christ himself. Now, when Abraham was old, well advanced in age, remember, this is just Genesis chapter 24. It's in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, where God reveals himself as El Shaddai, the Almighty. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all. Now, it is at this point, at this juncture, in Genesis chapter 24, verse 1, I believe that Abraham is walking to a great degree in the knowledge of the Lord, in the light of the Lord. Well advanced in age, he was old, he was mature. And see, God had blessed him in all. God had blessed him with all. Now here's how I would say it. When the God of glory first appeared unto our father Abraham, even as Stephen declared the gospel unto the Jews who were present, when the God of glory appeared, Abram, whose name had not changed at that time, Abram, at that very moment, received, listen, all of God at that very moment. Whether he realized it, acknowledged it, recognized it, or not. From that moment onward, begins the journey of Abraham. The journey of faith, the journey in faith, the journey in light, coming by the Spirit of God unto where the Spirit of God has already brought his soul in reality the very moment the God of glory appeared. When God the Father offers his Son unto the soul, he offers the fullness of the resurrection, he doesn't offer, we do not receive, we who are born again, or any soul, he does not offer a little Jesus, if you will. No, he offers the eternal, listen, glorified seed of God. The one in whom is much fruit, much increase of himself. All fullness dwells in him. This is the one he offers to the soul at the moment of new birth. At the moment of new birth, the soul receives everything it was created of God to receive in the person of Christ. From that moment onward, the Holy Spirit continues with just the same work, preparing the ground of the heart, so now that the heart may come in knowledge to behold the one the soul has received in reality, the moment of new birth. This is the journey in faith. This is the journey in light. This is walking in faith. This is walking in the light, even as he is in the light. Abraham didn't receive more of a blessing along the way. No. Abraham received the full blessing of God when God himself appeared, the God of glory appeared. Christ himself is the eternal blessing, and so do we, my brothers and sisters. Now, with Abraham, it was testimony, but he walked in that in faith from afar. We, my brothers and sisters, we received the reality of it. And yes, our father Abraham, he received the reality of it the moment Jesus rose from the grave. But we who are born again, and we who are born again, the moment Christ appears in the soul, we receive the eternal treasure, the eternal blessing himself, the moment of new birth. From that moment onward, we begin, I'll say it this way, our journey of discovering the one who is now eternally present in the land. Because this is ultimately all that Abraham did. Journeyed throughout the land, discovering the one who is present, the Lord himself. I want us to read another verse, because this is the verse that I thought of. And I'll read it in the King James. And I'll also read it, in the Geneva Bible. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. Not going to be able to find it there. Let me look in a different spot. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. I'll just go ahead and read it. This is the New King James Version. Actually, let me go ahead and read with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Let me pull this up in the Geneva. It's 1599, Geneva Bible. Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly things in Christ. This is for every single one of us who are born again. This is not a, as we go along, we get more. No. We have, if you will, the words, we have gotten everything we will get, if you will, I don't even want to use that word. We have received everything that we will ever receive from God in the person of Jesus Christ himself, the eternal blessing, the eternal one, all wrapped up, bound up in his son. Now, my brothers and sisters, yes, the Lord can do a miracle. He can do a sign. He can do a wonder. He can bless you in a temporal way. But my brothers and sisters, he knows the greater one who is present within the soul of the believer. And he would draw the attention of our heart unto this one, where we can, like the Apostle Paul, go on to say, I count all things but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now, it's not my knowledge, it's not your knowledge, it wasn't Paul's knowledge, it is God's knowledge of his son. Man's knowledge, once again, God considers darkness. Everything of God is a miracle of God. New birth is a miracle of God. The knowledge of the new birth is a miracle of God. All right? So, blessed be God and be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. This, I would say, is like reality and coming to the knowledge of reality. I'm trying to read my notes here that I jotted down. Abraham was discovering, he was finding the eternal blessing above in the heavens in the person of Christ Jesus himself. Okay, I think I already said that. Not only that, but this word right here, spiritual blessings, in the New King James, and I think in the King James as well, they're both singular. All spiritual blessing, singular, in the heavenly places in Christ. Everything, you know, Jesus talked about your treasure, for wherever your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Wherever your heart is, there your treasure will be also. What the affection is set upon, that is considered your treasure. So Genesis chapter 24, once again with verse 1. Now Abraham was old and advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all. Verse 2, so Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac. And the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? But Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your seed I give this land, he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. All right. Just a couple things here. This is the oldest servant of Abraham's house. And right here where he asks, in verse 5, and the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? But Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. For one, Isaac never left the land. Isaac never left the land. Isaac was not like Abraham, who stepped out and into Egypt, into the strength and ability of man, the flesh. Abraham was, excuse me, Isaac was not like Jacob, who fled in fear from his brother Esau. And yet the Lord says, I will be with you wherever you go and bring you back again. Isaac never left the land. And see, Isaac is a very beautiful picture of Christ in his death, burial, resurrection. Jesus of Nazareth in his death, burial, and resurrection. And see, in Genesis chapter 24, in testimony, Isaac has already been offered up. This is, let me try to find it real quick. I think we looked at it in our last class. Yeah. Genesis chapter 22. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac. This, we're in Genesis chapter 24. The testimony of Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection has already taken place in chapter 22. This has already taken place. And so when the servant asks, well, should I take your son back? And of course, Abraham is like, no, impossible. No, you cannot. No. There's a verse here in, yeah, there I have it, in Romans. This is Romans chapter 6, verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Perfect testimony. And so when he says, well, should I take him back? Abraham, whether Abraham knew it or not, by the Spirit of God, he says, no. He will not go back. And so, fulfilling a beautiful testimony, a true testimony. But then listen to what Abraham says in verse 7. And see, this is the thing. Remember from chapter 17, where God reveals himself, the Lord reveals himself as El Shaddai. By this time, Genesis chapter 24, Abraham has been walking in that reality. He's been walking in that light. He's been walking in the truth of not I, but Christ. Not my ability, but the ability of God, El Shaddai. This has been established in his heart, and he walks naturally in the truth. Look at what he says, verse 7. The Lord God of heaven, and I love the way he says this, who took me. I didn't do this. I didn't come by my own ability. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your seed I give this land. Listen to this. He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. It's not that Abraham is just so confident in that his son is going to have a wife. No. From where he would desire. No. Abraham is so confident that God will do. Because at this moment of time, it is also according to a testimony. Abraham has no confidence in his own ability. Abraham has no confidence, listen, in the ability of his chief servant either. But Abraham's confidence is in the Lord, who took me. He will. And because he will, you shall take a wife for my son from there. It's talk about walking in a living relationship with the living God, walking in faith, walking in light. Remember, during this time, my brothers and sisters, Abraham did not have a Bible. There were no Bible verses for him to memorize. No. He had no quote-unquote scriptures. He had no teaching. He had no message. He had no doctrine. No, he had none of that. All he had was his relationship. Well, I can't even say his relationship. All he had was God's relationship with him. And he was partaking in that relationship. He was walking in that relationship. He was walking in the light of that relationship, in the knowledge of that relationship with a living God. This was real for Abraham. When he says he will, then Abraham knows he is the only one who will. He is the only one who can. All right? It goes on. Let me go ahead and read. Where were we? I'm kind of going back and forth because I didn't copy a passage I want to read right now. Let me go ahead and continue reading with verse 8 through 11. And this is still Abraham speaking. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor, and he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Now, this is Abraham's chief servant, his oldest servant. That means that this servant has been with Abraham for quite a while. I don't know if it's exactly, I didn't look at any Bible commentaries or dictionaries. I don't know if this is the exact same servant that at one point Abraham considered that he would be the heir. I'm not sure. But this servant, having been in, listen, Abraham's household for a good amount of time, has become aware of that which governs the house of Abraham. Verse 12, Genesis chapter 24. Then he said, this is the chief servant. O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness, show mercy to my master Abraham. This one, my brothers and sisters, is not willing to take the initiative and move by his own ability. Remember, all with Abraham taking the initiative, the end of that comes in Genesis chapter 17. From that moment onward, we see something of the Lord that the heart of Abraham is now submitted unto, that was not submitted unto before. Submitted unto in a greater measure that was not submitted unto in that measure before. Because Abraham is no longer taking the initiative. And so therefore his household also, his chief servant. Look at this. Then his chief servant said, this is the chief servant. O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day. He didn't go out by his own ability thinking, I'll spot that one and she'll come with me. Or I'll spot that woman, that lady, and I'll just show her the camels and some of the stuff and she'll fall in love with that and come with me. No. O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day. With man, it is impossible. Not by the natural senses, but I love the way he says this. O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show mercy. That's the word. It's mercy to my master Abraham, because if you do not do, then nothing is done. If you do not perform, then it's not going to happen. Behold, verse 13, behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, that she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this, I will know that you have shown mercy to my master. The chief servant is setting up in his heart, I guess, a situation that would be, listen to me, that would be like finding a needle in a haystack. So precise is his prayer. So accurate. If this and this and this, this has to happen this way, this has to happen this way, and this has to happen this way. And only you, Lord, can make it happen. Because with man, it is impossible. And if it does happen in this order, I will know that you have shown mercy to my master, even in this. I love that. This chief servant, his heart is submitted unto that which the heart of Abraham is submitted unto. So he is walking to whatever degree in the same light, bringing everything before the Almighty, the El Shaddai, the only able, the only capable one. Remember what Abraham said, verse 7 of Genesis chapter 24. The Lord God of heaven will do this. The Almighty El Shaddai. That was verse 14. This is verse 15. We're just continuing on. And before I read verse 15, there's a couple comments that I want to make. The servant is also, listen to this, he's also speaking of the mercy of God. Where is it? Verse 12. Then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show mercy to my master Abraham. That's verse 12. Verse 14, towards the end of verse 14. And by this will I know that you have shown mercy to my master. And once again, brothers and sisters, mercy involves, I'll just kind of in a general way, with mercy, there is one who has no power, no ability to change a condition or a state. And in the midst, there is one who has all power, all ability to change a condition or a state. And see, God doesn't stop being mercy the moment of new birth. No, no, no. Now, for the one who's born again, there is now, I don't want to say a condition or a state, but there is now ignorance of the one who is present and requires the ability of another to make known this new condition, this new state that he himself, God himself, has brought about. Because man, once again, with man, Jesus solidified it, with man it is impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. The servant, to whatever degree, is walking in truth, is walking in light, is walking in faith. He knows it is impossible with man and man's abilities. Impossible of his own accord, of his own ability as well. He knows God is merciful and will do this because he brings God's mercy into the picture. The servant is humbling himself before God, knowing if God does not do, then nothing will be done. In his prayer with the Lord, he's humbling himself before the Lord. And I'll just say this, my brothers and sisters, man is prideful. That's just a fact. Man is prideful. Believers are prideful. Man is prideful. He thinks he has ability. When you find a soul that's not born again, and let's say here the Lord opens a conversation with a soul who is born again to declare the truth, to declare the gospel, then that soul that's not born again will say, well, something to this effect, because I said it myself. What do you mean I need? I said this before I was born again. What do you mean I need life? No, I have life. It requires a miracle of God for the soul and heart to humble itself, to declare its need before the Almighty. For us believers who are born again, Spirit of God continually preparing the ground of our heart. Yes, preparing the ground of our heart to bring us in knowledge from our darkness unto light, the knowledge of God, God's knowledge, who is His Son. Oh no, but wait, I've done my studies. I know that. I already searched that out. I already read that definition. I know what that means. I know. No, my brothers and sisters, I know not. We know not. Remember, the wisest man on earth confessed, "Thy servant is but a child. I know not. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart." That prayer, my brothers and sisters, required a miracle of God to take place. No man can confess their inability. No man will humble himself. No, not one. Requires a miracle of God. Man is prideful. Requires a miracle of God to humble oneself to receive from God. Moment of new birth, and the knowledge of the new birth. Everything is bound up with the Lord. If He doesn't do it, my brothers and sisters, nothing is done. If He doesn't do it, then the soul continues dead. And for the one who's born again, if God doesn't take the initiative and do it, then the heart continues ignorant of the one who is eternally present. In Jeremiah, it's Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Let's go ahead and look at that real quick. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. This is Jeremiah having a conversation with the Lord. Ah, Lord God, behold, listen to this. You have made the heavens and the earth. You have made the heavens and you have made the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. Abraham, my brothers and sisters, was walking in this reality. I don't know for how long, but his heart was established in this. Remember? Isaac, father, the wood for the burnt offering, this and this, but what about the lamb? What is Abraham's response? My son, God will provide himself a lamb. It's beautiful. But see, this only came about because God made himself known, the Lord made himself known as El Shaddai, the Almighty. God has to take the initiative every single time. With man, once again, it is forever, eternally impossible. All right, going on. Verse 15. Yes, continuing with Genesis chapter 24, now with verse 15. And it happened before he had finished speaking. I love the Lord. Behold, Rebekah, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, there you go, part of the family, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Verse 16, now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her, and she went down to the well. Filled her pitcher and came up. And there's our word, there's our phrase, came up. Went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. What got my attention right here is these two words, went down. Remember, with this whole scenario, this whole passage, this whole context, Abraham is humble, I guess you could say it. He walks in the knowledge that it is not I, but El Shaddai, the Almighty, the Lord. His servant also walks, to whatever degree, in the same knowledge, in the same light, in the same truth. A living knowledge. Knowing utterly the impossibility with man to do anything. With Rebecca, there is also humility. Listen to the way I say this, humility to receive from the source. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. Humility to receive from the source. I love that. Requires a miracle of God. So there's already something working in her heart. It's working in the household of Abraham. So in one sense, she's already a part of that household, whether she is physically there or not. He goes on, verse 17, and the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. So she said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. Verse 19, and when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. And I'll just mention this. I've heard, and I haven't really searched it out, but apparently camels can go a very long distance in the desert without drinking water. They have, I don't know the scientific term for it. They have a, I'll just use the vernacular. They have a very large reservoir where they take this water, and that sustains them throughout their journey through the desert with no water. Okay. So that's an awkward way of saying it, but that's what it is. And so by this point, I don't know how far they've gone. Well, yeah, they did. They went from Canaan to Haran. I don't know how much they drank along the way, but by the time they get to Haran, they're probably pretty thirsty. And I've heard it said, oh, and so she's, you know, she has a servant heart of going back and forth to, you know, give all the camels water to drink. Well, okay. Yeah, there's something greater working in her heart. Remember, brothers and sisters, she, in humility, she humbles herself to receive, listen, from the source. Rebecca is knowing a fountain that is sufficient for all. There is no lack. She is knowing a fountain that is sufficient for all. There is no lack. My brothers and sisters, the woman at the well, Jesus shows up. The Samaritan woman goes through Samaria, goes to a well. Here comes a woman to the well. Jesus, give me a drink. Why are you asking me, who am a Samaritan, to give you a drink? And then she has her conversation, and Jesus said, Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God that is before you, you would ask me, and I would give you, and you would never thirst again. Remember, brothers and sisters, there is, with even that woman at the well, Samaria, the Samaritan woman, there is testimony because it was Jacob's well. There is a testimony because she said, Jacob, he drank from it. His sons drank from it. His livestock drank from it. His whole family drank from it. We've all drunk from it. We drink from it. This is, listen, this is a sure source. This is a sure fountain. Sufficient and plenty for all. And here is the fountain of God before her. If you knew the gift of God, you would ask me, and I would give you, and you would never thirst again. Because that is exactly what happens, brothers and sisters. The moment of new birth, the eternal fountain appears in our soul. The thing is, we are completely ignorant of this fountain, wherein is no lack whatsoever. Of his fullness have we all received. John chapter 1, and grace for grace. The moment, once again, the moment of new birth, we receive from God everything we will ever receive in the person of Christ. From that moment onward, the Spirit of God continues now to bring our heart in knowledge from our ignorance below, yes, our ignorance below, unto the knowledge of God above, who is Christ his Son, to discover the one who is present, the one in whom there is no lack, the one, listen, who is plenty. The sufficient fountain of fullness, who is Christ himself. And so I love this. Abraham walking in this reality. Verse 1, page 1. the reality of El Shaddai, not my ability, but the ability of God, confidently acknowledging that God will do, because with man it is utterly impossible, walking in faith, walking in light, walking in the mercy of God. And so this is really all I had for this class today. It's just so beautiful how this household of Abraham, the entire household is governed by that which governs the house of God. Abraham himself, his chief servant, and even Rebekah, her heart is already submitted unto that which the hearts of Abraham's household is submitted unto. So she is a perfect fit. She will fit right in. So please present this to the Lord. There's nothing impossible for God. With God, all things are possible. Present this to the Holy Spirit, our teacher, that he would do that which he desires to do in our hearts for God's will, God's end, God's purpose. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. We'll see you in our next class. Amen.